ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 3 टाइटल्ड प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट नंबर 22 बर्भायिते ते नयने नराणां लिंगाय विष्णोर्न निरीक्षतो ये पादो नृणां तो द्रुम जन्म भाजो क्षेत्राणि नानुव्रजतो हरेर्यौ बर्हायिते ते नयने नराणां बर्हायिते ते नयने नराणां लिंगानि विष्णोर्न निरीक्षतो ये लिंगानि विष्णोर्न निरीक्षतो ये पादो नृणां तौ द्रुम जन्म भाजौ पादो नृणां तौ द्रुम जन्म भाजौ क्षेत्राणि नानुव्रजतो हरेर्यौ क्षेत्राणि नानुव्रजतो हरेर्यौ बर्हायिते ते नयने नराणां लिंगानि विष्णोर्न निरीक्षतो ये पादो नृणां तौ द्रुम जन्म भाजौ क्षेत्राणि नानुव्रजतो हरेर्यौ बर्हायिते ते नयने नराणां लिंगानि विष्णोर्न निरीक्षतो ये पादो नृणां तौ द्रुम जन्म भाजौ क्षेत्राणि नानुव्रजतो हरेर्यौ Barhaite. Like plumes of a peacock. Te. Dos. Nayane. Eyes. Narana. Of men. Lingani. Forms. Vishnoho. Of the personality of Godhead. Na. Does not. Nirikshataha. Look upon. Ye. All such. Padav. Legs. Nrana. Of men. Tau. Dos. Dhrumajanma. Being born of the tree. Bhajav. Like that. Kshetrani. Holy places. Na. Never. Anuvratitaha. Goes after. Harehe. Of the Lord. Yav. It. Translation. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representation of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock. And the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu. Forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan or Sitaram especially, or any other form of the Lord like Narasimha, Varaha, Gaurnitai, Matsya, Kurma, Saligram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudeva, Narayana and Damodara, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning 4 a.m. till night 10 p.m. by performing Mangala, Arat, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shringar, Bhoga, Vaikali, Sandhya Arati, Pat, Bhog at night, Shayan Arati, etc. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householder to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge. And that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditure. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Shri Vigraha Radhana Nityanana Shringara Tanmandira Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Staniyanjatobi Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. Shri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable worshipable form of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in the worshipping the deity regularly by Shringar, by proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandira Marjan. The matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all this kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attraction and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radio. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another temple where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated form of the Lord, well dressed in a well decorated, sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. Formerly, all rich men like kings and rich merchants constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord like six Goswamis, and it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these temples and festivals observed in the holy places of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of great devotees, Anuvarjata. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind, but one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by proper men who know the science. This is called Anuvrajata, Anuvraja. Anu means to follow. In this, it is therefore best to follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, even in visiting temples and the holy places of pilgrimage. One who does not move in that way is as good as standing tree, condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas and thereby not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. Om Gyan Simran Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshirmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. In this series of verses, Shamanika Rishi heavily condemns materialistic men who have no motivation at all to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are series of verses, one after another, criticizes materialistic men. Because he is completely plunged in transcendental love for the Lord, and he is so curious to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to inspire Suta Goswami, he condemns the materialistic men. Here the specific mention is about the deity worship of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this point very clearly, that a household devotee must worship the deity form of the Lord. Why? It's a very significant point, because in the household ashram, one has the tendency to enjoy, to consider oneself to be the enjoyer. So that is a human tendency. That is the tendency of all conditioned beings. However, this is enhanced in the household ashram. Why? Because one is earning, so one has income, and one can think that, okay, I have money and I can buy anything for my enjoyment. I want a gold watch. So go work hard, get some money and purchase. So one thinks, I have the money, I am the enjoyer and I can make the facility to enjoy. So that is the downside. So to address this issue, Srila Prabhupada says, a neophyte must install a deity form of the Lord, but according to the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master and start worshipping. Then what happens? Then eventually one can come to the platform of who is the real enjoyer. How it can happen? So according to the instructions of the spiritual master, one understands what is the standard according to Pancharatra to worship the deity form of the Lord. So then he understands that the deity needs opulent prasadam, bhoga, and that is accepted as prasad. So he prepares different kinds of items for the pleasure of the Lord. Here, what kind of deity worship is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada? Whole day deity worship. So if there is no support of the temple at all, because two conditions are presented in this purport. One is if one can maintain a higher standard of deity worship at home. Or the second one, if it is impossible, then one must take shelter of the temple or a place where the deity is worshipped in a higher standard. And what is the standard? The worship starting from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the night. So such a temple standard is not available like here, then one must have a complete deity worship program at home. This is the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So when one has such a high standard of deity worship, then one understands that the Lord needs opulent bhoga. It is not just a matter of just giving something that we want to give, but there are certain standards. The Lord must be offered at least a flower garland one day. The Lord needs some milk sweets. He needs a certain kind of breakfast. He needs a certain kind of lunch, dinner, etc. So there are series of offerings that one is committed to offer for the pleasure of the Lord. So initially, when one is acting according to the instruction of the spiritual master as a matter of duty, he may not really do it out of spontaneous affection. But he does as a matter of duty. And that helps him to come to a platform where he starts to think, what am I actually doing? I am working hard, I am making money, but where is it going? The center of the home is Krishna, the deity. So all the endeavor associated in his life becomes connected to the deity form of the Lord. So that's how one can think, who is the real enjoyer? Then he comes to the platform, I am not the real enjoyer, Krishna is the real enjoyer. And all my activities around home are centered around Krishna. So this is the very necessity of deity worship. Second reason is to understand the beautiful form of the Lord. For a materialistic person, and when we are coming to Krishna consciousness, we are quite materialistic, and at that platform, to understand the spiritual form, one must worship the beautiful form of the Lord. It is completely necessary. So it applies to all ashrams, in fact. Everyone needs to develop that attraction for the spiritual form of the Lord. This is a bare minimum standard. Because we are attracted by so many things in this world, so many different kinds of beauties, so many different kinds of attractions. And even if you come to Krishna consciousness, it is very difficult to focus the mind just on the holy name of the Lord without the help of deity worship. So when you see the beautiful form of the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, profusely dressed, well ornated form of the Lord, then the mind gradually goes towards the deity form of the Lord. So instead of thinking about so many other things of the world, slowly one starts thinking about the beautiful form of the Lord. I can see when I came to Krishna consciousness, just amazed to see such kind of beautiful dressing. Because I am from the south, so I have seen so many different forms of the Lord, in so many different deity forms. However, when it comes to the shringar, when it comes to the dressing, we can't compare to what happens here, especially in the ISKCON temples and in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Such a beautiful dressing. So many kinds of ornaments. So many, you know, beautiful garlands. Different kinds of crown, different kinds of the helmet or the pagdi, whatever it is. It's so beautiful. So when you see such kind of beautiful form of the Lord, then we can just slowly try to forget the material beauties. We can see who can be so much beautiful as Krishna. So then we actually, the mind changes. The mind changes from the material association, from the material thoughts to the beautiful form of the Lord. It is very necessary. Even to develop good chanting, we need to develop attraction for the deity. One need to have personal attraction for the deity. One need to have personal relation to the deity form of the Lord. We all have our relation to the form of the Lord. We have all prayed to Radha Vallabha. We have all prayed to Gauranitai. We have all prayed to Jagannath Balabha Sundaraji, Narasimhadev. And we have seen that how they have reciprocated in our life. So this is a strong impetus for us to take more shelter of the deity form of the Lord. So for anyone who is from the neophyte platform, seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, it's the beginning. It can be the beginning of further development of attraction for the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Praksham bhangatraya parichitam saji vistirna drishtim vamshinya stadhara kishalayam ujjalam chantrakena govindakhyam haritanyum keshi dirthopagante ma prekshishta yadidavasake bantu sankesti rangaha. He says, if you want to remain a materialist, then please don't go and see the beautiful form of Govinda, who is playing upon the flute in the bank of Yamuna in Keshi Ghat. Because if you see him, you will get attracted to him. And eventually you will lose all your material attractions and you will become a devotee of the Lord. So he says, if you want to be a materialist, please don't go and see Govinda. So this is our message. That if you want to be a materialist, don't come to the temple and don't see the beautiful form of the Lord. You cannot remain a materialist. It can act fast or it may act slow, but the impact is profound. So we can see the form of the Lord is so beautiful and they do reciprocate. That is the most wonderful thing. That is the most wonderful thing. They do reciprocate. One time, Purujan Prabhu was telling a story. It was very interesting. He said, one Mataji came from a Muslim country and she approached Burijan Prabhu in Vrindavan and told him that I can't accept the deity form of the Lord. She was a devotee. She was practicing, she was chanting 16 rounds and she was familiar with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But she said, I have one problem, I accept everything, but I can't accept the form of the Lord. I can't accept deity form of the Lord because of my conditioning. What can I do? So it's a genuine problem. We may have such a problem. And Bhujan Prabhu said, I thought, what to do? So he said, there was an instruction by Srila Prabhupada. If there is any problem in Vrindavan, approach Lord Balaram. He can solve all the problems of Vrindavan. So this was in Vrindavan. Bhujan Prabhu was in Vrindavan. This Mataji was in Vrindavan. And of course, we have the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So Bhujan Prabhu told this lady, you just go. And go in front of Krishna Balaram and pray. Just pray that I can't accept you. Please do something about it. I can't. It's unfortunate, but I can't accept you. I can't accept the deity form of the Lord. What can I do? Please do something about it. So she did that. And Prabhu mentioned that she did that and she got her faith straight away. After that incident, after her prayers to the deity form of the Lord, she got faith in the deity form of the Lord. She could accept, yes, they are actually Krishna and Balaram. So this is the reciprocation of the deity. There was this wonderful pastime happened in 70s in New Vrindavan. Some of you may have heard about it. It's an amazing pastime. Where the New Vrindavan community was developed and so many devotees were staying there. And Kirtanananda Maharaj was head of the community and The beautiful form of Radha Vrindavan Chandra was installed in the new Vrindavan farm, and they were doing wonderful service to these deities. So many householders, so many brahmacharis and sannyasis, and you know, it was a big community, and this beautiful form of the Lord had been worshipped by all. And one time, some issue happened with the local people out there, and some of the dacoits were there, and they were like, you know, gangsters. They had all the weapons, and they came to New Vrindavan temple. They came to the temple with all the weapons during daytime, all the weapons they had. They had guns, they had everything. A gang came inside, and as of course devotees, they are dependent on Krishna. They had no weapons, so they had nothing. So they came to the temple room, and they surrounded the temple room, and they had all the devotees inside the temple room, and they approached the devotees with gun, and everyone was, you know, threatened for their life. So the curtain was closed, and the deities were invisible, and all the devotees were in. So they captured all the devotees. All the devotees, you know, they were at the, you know, at the gunshot. They can't move. They can't do anything. And they asked, "We are going to kill all of you." So, what could they do? It is such a miserable situation, you know, threatened for their own life. And then they asked, "Who is your leader? First, we want your leader. We want to kill your leader first." So Kirtananda Maharaj, he himself came, "Yeah, I am the leader." They caught him and they said, "We are going to kill you." It was serious. "We are going to kill you." And all the devotees, after that, "We will kill him and we will kill all of you." They were ready for that. They had all the weapons and they were just onto it. And they grabbed a devotee who had a big shikar. A devotee had a big shikar. You know, we have, you know, very stylish shikar, you know, just huge, massive, you know, pretty much covers the whole backside of the head, and it is too long. And they caught that devotee, caught on the shikha, opened, and you know, they dragged around the temple. So the whole thing was going on. So this is a very heavy scene. And then one of these gangsters, they pointed out, "What is behind that curtain? So open that." So two of them, they actually went and they ripped the whole curtain. They didn't open, they ripped the whole curtain. And then they saw the form of the Lord. And one of them said, "That is their God. That is their God." So the devotees were completely scared. They were thinking, you know, look, our life is under threat. You know, this, our leader's life is under threat. And how about the deities? So the deities are also under threat. So they said, "Okay, one by one, you go. Ask the devotees, you bring the deities and throw. Carry the deity, bring it to the front and throw heavily on the marble floor." So the devotees were like completely crushed. You know, what could we do? Because they are in the gun point, you know, they can't move and they have to do, the life is under threat. So two devotees went, they took Radharani and they brought Radharani, and you know, they were bringing. So this is happening. Okay, so they were carrying Radharani and coming. At the same time, they took Kirtananda Maharaj to, they, you know, at the gunpoint, they said, you know, "You behind, there is a gun." The leader of the gangster, he took Maharaj and, you know, gun behind and asked him to walk. "We will take him to the next hill and we will shoot him there and kill him." So he started walking. And this, the leader of the gangster behind him with the gun, and walked all the way. And they were climbing the hill. The leader told him that, "If you turn and take a look, I will kill you. You had to just walk straight. I am behind you with gun." So all devotees were completely shocked. You know, it's like such a situation. So he was going on the way. It was going on. And here, the Radharani was coming. And they approached in the middle of the temple. And the leader, the gangsters told him, "Now throw this deity to the floor, hard." Think about it, you know. How can you do that? They are devotees. So somehow or other, what happened was, at that point, the Radharani herself slipped and fell on the floor. Not from a very high, a short distance. Fell on the floor, but the sound was tumultuous. It was, no one ever have heard such a loud noise, such a heavy sound. And the whole temple was shaken. And all the gangsters and the devotees were taken aback hearing the sound. And not only that, this sound was so tumultuous that it was audible even in the next hill where this gangster leader was with Maharaj. So he started thinking that something happened and police has come. So something has happened in the temple and I won't kill him now because something has happened. I have to go back. So with the sound, what he did was, he said, you cannot turn back. If you turn back, I'll shoot you. You be here and I'm going. And he ran. And he was running and coming from the hill to the temple. And then all these gangsters were there. They thought that something wrong happened there. That's the reason he's running and coming back. So there was a whole commotion. So the gangsters actually left. They thought, next time we will do something. Now we are leaving. So all of them rushed and packed and they left. So after this, there was a minor damage to Radharani, but it was fixed later and reinstalled. So there was no issue with that. But the devotees were telling, after this incident, when they looked at Srimati Radharani, how much reciprocation they had, how much love they had for Srimati Radharani for saving their life. So this is the mercy of the Lord. So actually we think we are worshipping, we are protecting the Lord. Actually they are protecting us, they are serving us, they are giving us life. So this was their realization. So powerful is the deity form of the Lord. How much can they reciprocate? It is up to what we want. Ye dhamam prabhatyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. As we surrender, they do reciprocate. So the deity form of the Lord is so powerful. So we have to build that personal relation to the form of the Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada continues. Then it's a very important point in here that even for that, even for installing a deity form of the Lord at home, one must take permission from the spiritual master. It's not according to one's own whim that, okay, today I want to worship the deity, so I'll get a deity form, okay, from Vrindavan or Mayapur and I'll install and worship. No. According to the instruction of the spiritual master. Because sometimes spiritual master says, no, you are not ready. No, you continue for some time, then we can install the deity form of the Lord. And spiritual masters, they do instruct that if someone is staying very close to the temple, then your main deity form of the Lord is Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. It's not your own deity. You may have a small deity form of the Lord, but no, that's not your main object of worship. Your main object of worship should be Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. So according to the standard of worship, there is difference. So the highest standard is maintained in the temple. So if the temple is accessible, one must take shelter of the temple. That is very much necessary because Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the standards. So the highest standard we have to take shelter of. So temple is very important. Then Srila Prabhupada continues the importance of the theoretical understanding and practical application. Srila Prabhupada says, reading scriptures can be theoretical, but the practical application is archana process. Actually doing some practical service to the Lord. All the activities in the temple are centered around the deities. In the same way, if the deities are installed at home and if the consciousness is right, then all the activities at home is also centered around Krishna. So that is the standard one has to come up to. The theory in itself is not sufficient because theory must be realized by application. So deity worship will give that application and one gets realization. So the Lord, just seeing the form of the Lord, even seeing the eyebrow of the Lord, it is mentioned the lust in the heart will be removed. So powerful. Just seeing the eyebrow of Krishna. Lust in the heart will be removed. So it is said, okay, if you have lust, then look at the eyebrow. Focus on the eyebrow of the Lord. Like that. So the worship of the Lord is so significant. And here it is mentioned, one must develop attraction for the kirtan. If one develops attraction for the kirtan of the Lord, then one can go beyond the film music or the rock music or whatever mundane music. So when we, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we have attraction for so many different kinds of music, which are just rubbish, just useless. And that is perpetuating the sex desire, nothing more. And people remember this music. People can remember the songs for, you know, so many songs. Not one or two. You know, we have, you know, difficulty remembering Bhagavad Gita verses, but when it comes to film music, film songs, you know, hundreds of songs, all lyrics, in completely, you know, they can, any time of the day that will come out. Right? So now also, if we are in the wrong association, if we hear these kind of things, you know, if we hear the nonsense songs, all the memory will come back. Oh, okay, I used to hear this, you know, the whole thing becomes quite prominent in our consciousness. And all these songs, which are just rubbish, just waste. And if you see the Prabhupada is talking about cinema attraction. Cinema means, what is cinema? Cinema means it is just perpetuating the sex attraction, nothing more, primarily. Every cinema has this, you know, sex element has to be there. Attraction between man and woman has to be there in a cinema, whatever it is. Whether it's a horror movie or, you know, investigation or any, whatever. Whatever kind of movie you pick, it will have this kind of element. Because there is a very interesting thing that in the spiritual world, the primary rasa is, you know, is the adiras, it is the, you know, the conjugal relation. There's a, you know, primary rasa, sakya, dasya, sakya, what is it? The parental relation and the conjugal relation. These are the primary rasas. But when it comes to the material world, these rasas become secondary. In the sense, it won't be the prominent. You won't see a movie full of conjugal rasa. Mundane movie. You won't see full. No, you cannot. There has to be some fight. There has to be some humor. And in between, there will be a little bit, you know, here. If you, the whole film is about, you know, the like a Bollywood movie where, you know, running around the man and the woman, you know, the hero and the heroine, then it'll be too boring. Even in Bollywood movie, which has so many songs, still it has all the fight and all the stunt and all these kind of different things. So this is just perverted reflection of the real attraction for Krishna in the mundane platform. So one has to develop attraction for kirtan. One has to develop attraction for bhajans. When we hear bhajans glorifying Krishna, and when we meditate upon the meaning of these bhajans, we understand such a profound meaning we can hear from the great acharyas. So many bhajans, so wonderful. So if we meditate on that, naturally our consciousness will be elevated. And we have so many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita. Just by meditating on them, our consciousness will be elevated. It's only a matter of taking shelter. And as a final part of this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the importance of visiting Holy Dham. Holy Dham has changed so much. Right? If you go to Govardhan, golf course in the foothill of Govardhan, skyscrapers in the foothill of Govardhan, you can see so many billboards. So Vrindavan and Govardhan has become a place, instead of a place of pilgrimage, a sightseeing place. Sightseeing. People just go, relax for some time and come back. Even Delhi, right? Many people go. Just go, not necessarily for worship, just for sightseeing. People have this pious holidays in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, wherever. Pious holiday trip. Just go, spend some time. But they continue their life there. Wherever they go, their actual life will continue there. There's no transformation. Just they go there, spend some time and come back. And even devotees can carry on with the same mood. We can also go to the holy dhams just for sightseeing, if our consciousness is not right. If we go to holy dham, our aim is not to cover as many temples as possible in one day, so that we can say, yes, I have visited all these temples. We have 2 days, okay, we have covered all Vrindavan in 2 days. That's not the purpose of going to Holy Dham. The purpose is to absorb in spiritual consciousness. To hear the glories of the places of pilgrimage. To hear the pastimes of the Lord from saintly people. As Bhagavatam says, otherwise that is just like places of pilgrimage. Just like a cow. There is no difference between a cow or an ass. If you just go take bath and come back. If you don't hear the glories of the Lord. Gokhara, as it is mentioned in Bhagavatam. So we have to be very careful about our consciousness. Even when we go to holy places. We shouldn't make that the whole thing a sightseeing process. We shouldn't engage in sense gratification in the holy praise. Even in terms of prasadam, our aim shouldn't be just to indulge in all different kinds of prasadam. Only that is the whole focus. Rather, one should take shelter of the holy place. One should chant extra rounds. One should chant in front of the deities. One should visit different holy places and chant holy names there. One should absorb. In that way, one get benefit. Otherwise, the materialistic mentality we are carrying with us. So it is mentioned anuvraja. Anuvraja means it has to be under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. So if you have to go to Holy Dham, one must take instruction from the spiritual master. One must take blessings from the spiritual master so that we can actually enter the Holy Dham. Not just visit. Anyone can visit. Anyone can buy a ticket, can go. But entering the Holy Dham, entering a holy place is a matter of consciousness. So one need blessings for that. So one must get blessings to go to such holy places. And then get the blessings and then go and take the opportunity. And then we can see the wonder. Then we can see how these holy dhams are transforming our consciousness. They have magical effect. If you go in the right consciousness, these places has profound effect. And they can transform our consciousness. So we have to go to holy places in that mood. And get the highest benefit. Otherwise, as this mentioned, this verse is condemning materialistic people who have no interest whatsoever to see the beautiful form of the Lord. As it is mentioned, that is just like the prince on the plumes of a peacock. Their eyes are worthless because their eyes are only seeing reflected light. Nothing much. What can we see? What are we seeing? Actually, even devotees, what are we seeing? We are actually seeing only reflected light. Is it right? We are not seeing anything else. The reflected light is creating an impression in our consciousness. That's what is happening. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made a very profound statement in this regard. He was standing in front of the deity Gandharvika Giridhari in Mayapur. So the deity is a beautiful form of the deity. We can see in the Yogapit temple, we can see still the deities are worshipped very nicely. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in front of the deity and he was not wearing his spectacle, no glasses. So one of his servants, he approached Bhaktisiddhanta and told him that, Guru Maharaj, you don't have your glasses. Shall I go and get your glasses so that you can see the Lord? Bhaktisiddhanta told, do you think we can see the form of the Lord? Do you think we can see Krishna? He said, no. I am just present so that I am not even worthy, but I am praying for that day where I get the merciful glance of Krishna. So when we go, of course, as it is mentioned, yes, we see the form of the Lord with our consciousness, and not only that, the Lord is seeing us and we need the merciful glances of the Lord. That can transform our mind. That can transform our consciousness. So if not, it is just worthless. And similarly, if you don't go to holy places, then what's the use of those legs? It is just like the trunks of the tree, which has no value. So all the materialistic activities, if you add together, it has no value at all. Whereas if you do something spiritually, that has meaning, that has value. So with this, I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, bro.
In the third form, he's talking about some different services for the deity.
Yeah.
What is Niranjana?
I don't know. If anyone knows Niranjana? I don't know. What is
it?
Part is reading reading the scriptures, part. Glorifying the Lord. Anything else? Yes, bro.
From Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if I can make one pure devotee of the Lord, my life is successful.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said that all of my disciples, they are pure devotees of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So how we can understand these two contradictory statements?
Srila Prabhupada also made a statement in 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection to Dhruva Maharaja's pastime, that if I can make a pure disciple, he can take me back to Godhead. Just like Dhruva Maharaja's mother, Suniti, right? Suniti instructed Dhruva Maharaj to go to forest and take shelter of Krishna. With that instruction, primarily, he perfected his life. And by the mercy of Dhruva Maharaj, his mother also could go to Vaikuntha. In the same mood, Srila Prabhupada says, if I can make a pure disciple, and he can take me to Vaikuntha. This is out of humility, we have to understand. When, even when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if I can make one pure devotee, my life is successful, that statement is a statement of humility. We shouldn't take too literally. It's okay. You know, he couldn't make even one. No, it's a statement of humility. Then on the other side, Srila Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. It means he specifically said what he meant. One who follows the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, one who strictly follows that, they are pure devotees. What is meant by pure devotee there? Srila Prabhupada says, this is just like the ripe mango and the raw mango. If one is strictly following, and if one doesn't fall down, and if he's holding on to the process, then the unripened mango would eventually become ripened. In the same way, if one is strictly following Krishna consciousness, he's a pure devotee in the sense, he has the potential to be pure, and he's on the way to be pure. Just like a mango becomes ripened, that's all. Mango is mango. Mango is mango. In the same way, we are pure devotees as much as we are strictly following the process. If one is strictly following the process and, you know, one is holding on to that, one is pure. It doesn't mean one is a prema bhakta, but one has a potential in that sense. Because he is not going to leave. He is going to holding on to the process. You understand? So the mango just becomes ripened in due course of time. In the same way, if one strictly follows, it's just a matter of time. Yeah, thank you. Anything further? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthashrim Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sitai Gora Premande.
You were not.
You were not.
Yes.